Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Season Countdown, an in-depth look at all 34 of the region's local football clubs. Here's your host, Tom King.
They're an interesting club because they've had some player movement, they've got a new coach, but we expect they'll still be thereabouts. Last year, they were preparing for a first semi-final that was a mouth-watering one too against Ocean Grove before, of course, COVID came and impacted and rode off season 2021. They're still the reigning premiers, of course, won the flag in 2019, and nobody's taking that off them until early September this year. And a man who doesn't want it taken off them anytime soon is their new coach, Dan Donati, who's been good enough to join us on the Season Countdown. Hello, Dan. Welcome, firstly, to K-Rock Footy for the first time.
G'day, Kingy. Thanks very much for having me, mate. Looking forward to chatting and, really excited for the season ahead. I guess you're right. Officially we are kind of the reigning premiers, but it was 2019. We know a lot of water's gone under the bridge since then, so probably a lot of play turnover, obviously new coach and an exciting start to the season coming up.
All right. For those who don't know much about Dan Donati, give us a bit of the background for those who maybe not au fait with your football journey, which is a very long and storied one.
Yeah, I probably don't want to bore them with the long and storied one, Kingy. Look, Melbourne boy, born and bred, Xavier College boy, sort of went through the schooling APS system, like so many these days, I guess. The footy factory at Xavier was a wonderful sort of junior experience for me. I got drafted in 96, had a couple of years at Richmond, played in the VFL, played in the Sandfall, and settled out in the Eastern Footy League for 7 or 8 seasons for Noble Park. Had a wonderful journey there. We won a couple of premierships, played in a couple of grand finals, more grand finals. Yep. And then I finished my career in the GFL at Lara as a playing assistant coach under Benny Harris. I snapped my Achilles tendon in my last cracking match in that first year. So I missed the entire season, but I played a season. We had a ball. We made the finals in 2010 before retiring and then dipping the toe in the water to coach and end up coaching the Ballwin Football Club from 2012 to 2016. I had a wonderful 5 years. I was really fortunate with a great group and we played in 5 straight grand finals. We managed to win 4 of those premierships and life-changing sort of journey for all of us. So very fortunate. And I finished there in 2016. Work commitments kind of got in the way a little bit and forced that retirement maybe a year or two earlier than what I wanted, but that's life. And then I ended up at Old Zabs, back where I started as an assistant coach, helping there the last 4 seasons. Really enjoyed A-grade ammos. That's sort of gone from strength to strength, that competition. And then here we are today. I'm now the new coach of the Bowen Heads Footy Club. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a journey. I'm 44. Hopefully still a little bit of life left in the tank.
Yeah, absolutely. Bowen Heads, how did it come about? Who reached out to Dan Donati to say, hey, we think you might be the man here to fill the role vacated by Herbie and Troy Mitchell?
Yeah, look, the great man, Cuzza, it probably doesn't surprise you, Kingy. Look, I've got a couple of friends in the area, a good friend of mine, Benny Harris, who actually coached Lara, one of the reasons I went to Lara to help him. Yep. He lives in Bowen Heads, just off the main street there, and he was having a conversation with somebody coincidentally about the footy club and the fact that they might be looking for sort of someone else to help out and be the new senior coach, and Ben actually mentioned my name, and that got back to the footy club, and I think within about 3 hours, Cuzza was on the phone reaching out to me. I live in Williamstown, I had anyway, before moving to the Surf Coast recently, so Cuzza obviously being an ex-Williamstown sort of person, he reached out and I met the footy club, met Tim Goddard, and look, didn't take me long to understand, you know, a little bit about the footy club and being there for sort of 15-20 minutes and where I'm at in life. Was really ready for a next opportunity, and that's kind of how it all came about. Didn't take me long to decide that Bowen Heads Footy Club was for me.
Yep. Successful club, but I suspect you're probably seeing a more relaxed environment than what Vaffer A grade or Eastern Footy League or GFL has produced.
Yeah, look, absolutely, and it's got its every competition that you're a part of. I've been lucky enough, I guess, because I've played in the GFL, I've played in the EFL, Eastern Footy League, and I've played in the A grade ammos. So I've got a bit of, I've got a bit of a scope, I guess. You can sort of tell the difference in standards and the quality of the people around doesn't change. The guys are amazing. They listen to everything that you're saying and you're wanting to do. The standard-wise, it's hard to tell, King, at this stage, to be honest. We've got some bloody good guys down there. They play hard, they play fast, and I'm really excited to see what they do. But it's early to sort of sit there and say it's a bit more laid back. And I guess at times it might feel a little bit like that. It's only early in the tenure, and I'm not complaining about that either. They're a great bunch of boys, and I'm really looking forward to the season.
Yep. You've had lots of movement player-wise, and I've got the list in front of me, and I'll just touch on those who are going out firstly, and some are premiership players, and you know, straight off I look at, you know, Damien Horbury and Cam O'Leary, Lachie Slorash, Otto Opperman among those, and then some youngsters who are looking at higher honours. So you've got Charlie Brower, Flynn Young have both gone to Grovedale, Sam Witherden's at North Shore, and they're obviously doing that to, you know, hopefully find spots on or have got spots on VFL lists. Cam O'Leary's obviously a massive blow, but I suppose they're all blows in one way, but you get caught looking at that and going, oh, gee, we've lost a bit here, but I suppose you probably want to more look at what you've brought in. And I'll run through the guys that you've picked up and get you to give me a few words on. The one I want to touch on first is obviously you get Dylan Holland back playing footy, which is fantastic. He obviously had horrible shoulder and elbow issues over the journey. He had the issue in the grand final, but after a couple of years off, I think he did the running last year. He's going to have another crack. How's he tracking?
Oh, look, Dizzy's a ripper. You don't probably need me to tell you that. He's well known around the competition. Look, I'm just wrapped that he's back down training. He's committed. He was at the training camp we had in Apollo Bay last weekend. Look, he's doing everything he can to get himself in good shape to hopefully have a crack. And you know, I'm certainly hopeful he's going to be available to play for us early in the season. There's no rush with Dizzy at all, mate. It's his time. He knows his body as well as anyone. He's very experienced, but he's just such a great fella, mate. I really enjoy talking with him. Everything he says at the football club, people listen. Yep. He's so well respected at the club. So we're really lucky to have him back for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a few words about James Agius, who's come from old Zab. So I'm guessing you've got a link there.
Yeah, there's a link there for sure. Argy, as he's known. Family lived down the coast and he's just sort of relocated down the coast. So feel pretty lucky to have landed Argy at the last minute. He's a ripping young fella. He's a very, very good amateur footballer. Old Zaz were extremely strong last year. I know their senior side was sort of mixed with probably 16 or 17 ex-VFL, AFL players. And Argy was one of those guys on the fringe. One of the best players every single week playing reserves, train with the seniors every week and struggle to sort of be a regular senior player. But let me tell you, the kid can play. He's hard, he's fast, you play half forward on the ball. And as I said, just a great fella. So I'm really happy to have him.
Yep, Sam Baker's come down from Moorabbin, which is Eastern League footy.
Yep, it is. Little hard, quick, enthusiastic, really good guy, positive, really has injected some energy around the group. And, oh, look, I think you'll enjoy watching him play. He has a red-hot crack. And I know he's played a bit of football for Lilydale too. We've got a bit of a Lilydale link at the Barwon Heads Footy Club. So he's sort of in that mix with those guys. And, yeah, he's come in with immediate effect too. He'll play some good senior footy for us.
Jake Ballard's come down from Minyip Matoa up in the northwest of the state.
Yeah, Jakey, country boy, premiership player up there at a young age. So got a wise head on his shoulders for a young fella. He's moved to the area to be an osteopath. So another guy who's just he's a good kid, mate. You know, they all seem to walk in and be positive instantly, friends with a lot of the players down the group. And he actually nicked his calf a couple of weeks ago, but he'll be fine in a week or so. So looking forward to seeing some good footy from him this year at stages too.
Yeah, Sean Lyle from North Ballarat.
Yeah, Shawnee Lyle. Again, feel a little bit lucky to sort of land at a guy like Shawnee Lyle with the experience that he brings. Hasn't played footy for a few years, but he's a dual premiership player at North Ballarat. And he's just slotted straight in. He's hardly missed a beat with us. He's been really keen to get back into his footy again. I know he's in his early 30s now, mate, but he's just come in, trained hard. The boys love him. And I think, we found a nice player in Sean this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, Croydon giving you Kyle Maher. What can you tell us about Kyle?
Yeah, Pringles, as he's affectionately known by the boys. Kyle, look, a leader, hard, and again, playing sort of, football. I think he was a vice captain at Croydon, a respectable football team. I played against them for years and certainly coached against them too over my journey. A respected football club, and he's come out of a good factory there as well. So, mate, he's going to be a good player for us. He'll probably play across half back and maybe across the wing at times.
Yep. Barwon Heads have never really, in recent years, had a ruckman. Obviously, Matty Dyer's done a lot of the ruck work as an undersized, but not uncommon in the Ballerine. One of the great ruck battles you'll have ever seen was Matty Dyer against Jackson Buse, and both of them top out at about 6 foot, but both got incredible leaps. Jacko's moved on to North Geelong. Is Matty's spot being taken by Leighton Driscoll? Are you going to use Leighton as a ruck, or what's the plan there?
Look, Late's big fella. Look, I don't think he's going to take anyone's spot, certainly not someone like Dogger. He's an absolute beauty. And I know we've got Brocky as well down there, mate, so some competitive blokes. But Late's is going to give us a bit more, I guess, depth in the height department. He's a big guy. He's worked pretty hard over the summer to get himself in some good shape. I know his partner's due to have a baby in the next sort of 5 or 6 days. So I think he's in home quarantine at the moment, just making sure that's all safe and sound. But yeah, he's played a couple of years at Lara, obviously with some good experience, and I think he'll add some depth to the big boy department for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Is Matty, though, still your go-to, is it right? And you mentioned Brock Close there as well, but is Matty still, you know, with his ability, I suppose, that he can compete in the middle, but then he's obviously got the opposition ruckman in terms of athleticism around the ground for most part, that you it's a ploy that's worked before that you'll employ again?
Yeah, look, obviously from the short amount of time that I've seen him and know him, and obviously seen a bit of footage from the past, you know, if Dog is fit, he's probably a lock in the side, because he can play basically in that sort of ruck role. You can basically throw him anywhere, and you've seen him attack the footy. He just makes things happen around any sort of clearance and stoppage. So, oh, look, he'll be in if he's fit, mate, that's for sure.
Yep. What was your flow on from your under-19s from last year? Because with the change of age groups, it's going back to under-18s. So basically, everybody's under-19 squad can graduate to senior footy. What has it been like for you? We've had some clubs say they've struggled to retain, and COVID's had a little bit to do with that. Where have you guys sitting with your kids coming up?
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of the kids who left for opportunities at GFL level, and a couple went to sort of VFL opportunities too at Werribee. Look, we've got a really nice crop coming through. We've got a young fella by the name of Ollie Wiltshire who has been burning the track up. He's going to be a very, very good senior footballer. I'm really excited to see what he can do with us this year. So that's fantastic. Another young fella, which you'll probably see at various times this year, is Noah McGregor Dawson, another graduate. Quiet sort of a guy, but gee, he plays good footy, mate. He's hard. He's got beautiful skills, real outside-inside run, which is great. Luke Avello, who I think won the BNF last year at the Colts, has trained really well this summer. So we've got three or four coming up, King, and I certainly hope that'll all get senior opportunities this year.
Yeah, good stuff. Dan, how's Nathan Brown looking? And are you excited about coaching a player of his experience and ability? And I know you've obviously had that coaching experience of, you know, Baldwin obviously had many an ex-AFL player roll through, and John Meeson and Joffy Simpkin, off the top of my head, are two that come to mind with a local link. But, you know, somebody of Nathan's ability, size, experience, talent, you must be, you know, pinching yourself that you've got a player that, you know, and he can play anywhere on the ground.
Yeah, and throw in character there too, Kingy. He's an absolute beauty. Obviously, really excited to coach someone like Nath. Humble sort of guy, obviously great senior experience at AFL level. And, you know, obviously the size of the guy and the way he interacts with the group, everybody loves him there. He gives everybody his time. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I don't really need to coach someone like Nath. He's been around for long enough. But we talk, we communicate about stuff. I listen to what he's got to say, and I think hopefully, touch wood, we get a clean run out this year and we'll have a good relationship together.
Yep. Will we be seeing double at all when it comes to Browns? And you knew this was coming.
I knew that question was coming. I wish I could say yes. Look, I think it's probably pretty well documented. I know Mitch very well, but very at this stage, there's no commitment from Mitch. I think he's got quite a bit going on. He's expecting his second child in the next couple of months. It'd be great to see them run around together. They haven't played with each other for years. I know Nate's super keen, but no commitment from that at the moment, Kingy, but I'll certainly stay on him, and you never know.
Yeah. How's Mitch Herbison tracking, and is he refreshed? You know, he's been so committed to the footy club and probably carried the weight of the footy club on his shoulders ever since he came back from South Barwon, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. He delivered the club what it had so desperately wanted for nearly 30 years. And how's his body? Because it has, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, not looked after him sometimes.
Yeah, no, Mitch has gone great. Herbie's just, obviously, you know him better than probably I do, Kingy. You've known him for a long time, but I've spent a heap of time with Herbie over the last few months. We catch up often, speak often. He's just starting to get into some real steam at the moment. Obviously, he's unavailable round one due to suspension. So I keep saying we're going to be back round one. Back round one, he's like, no, it's round two. And I'm like, that's right, round two. He's really stepping up his stuff. He's looked after himself over the summer. I had a really good chat with him when I first got the job. He had a little bit of knee soreness and fluid in the knee. And I said, there's no rush here. It's a long season. I want him to be able to play every game if he can. So manage it early, no rush. And he's done exactly that. He trained really, really well the other night. So, hopefully the football competition. Everyone knows Herbie, but hopefully we really get to see some of his best footy this year. And he's certainly keen. Look, he's a skipper of the football club. He's also my playing assistant coach. So he's still very much involved in the coaching side of it too. Yep.
Where's his best footy going forward as he, you know, creeps towards, you know, 32, 33 years of age? Might even be a tough job. He's very guarded about that, Mitch, with his age.
I still haven't worked it out, mate. He hasn't given me this rating.
I'm about 30-something.
Look, let's be honest. If he's fit, he's a midfielder. He's a midfielder and can go forward. There's a question about that. There might be a hybrid of that this year. You know, there's so many guys playing AFL footy at the moment. You look at Dusty Martin or Jordan Ngoi. He's kind of got that vibe about him. He can impact on the ball. He's a beautiful user of the footy. He's hard as nails. So if I can have him around the midfield more often than not, that's obviously going to be beneficial to the team. But he'll no doubt spend some time forward as well.
Your coaching experience has been a lot of suburb versus suburb or old school versus old school. How are you looking forward to the town versus town? I suppose you probably had a look at the fixture and gone, gee, when have we got Ocean Grove? And probably been made very aware of the Battle of the Bridge and probably been made aware that an upstart Ocean Grove came over the bridge last year and, you know, whooped it up after winning the game and sat with the pot in front of the Barwon Heads crowd and had their photo taken and all that.
Yeah.
How much are you looking forward to that side of coaching a club like Barwon Heads?
I can't wait, Kingy, because, with my experience of that, 20-odd years, I kind of really haven't had that experience. I've had friends that went up to the Ovens of Murray and played there for a few years. I've had coaches coach their friends have coached in sort of country community towns. And the first thing they always say is that the community aspect of to the football club is just on another level. And I've already sensed that at Barwon Heads. We played a 2020 cricket game a few weeks ago, and there were 700, 800 people there just to watch us against the cricket club. Just the community aspect of it, I'm really enjoying that. So I bring that stuff on. I love that stuff because that's just another, I guess, bit of motivation that you can utilise. I can't wait to play Ocean Grove in the middle of the year. Yep, I know they came and beat us last year and said it was probably the best win in the football club for years. So, you know, all that stuff and, you know, what it probably was, and hats off to them there. This is a new season. And I really look forward to those kind of rivalries. Obviously, Torquay round two, Drysdale round one, up-and-coming side, and we've got Anglesey at Easter. And then we play Motta. So it's going to be a really, really good, interesting first month for all that stuff.
Careful, you do me out of a job. That was my next thing, your first four. You've got four of the other top six, or other top seven sides in the competition in the first month. It's a great little test straight up.
Oh, it is, 100%. Look, we'll know where we're at early. But round one, round two, round three, round four doesn't certainly sum up a season. And I've got enough experience to know that. I've lost, we've had seasons where we lost round one by 8 or 9 goals, for example, gone on to win a premiership. I know that it's not one in round one. You learn a lot about where you're at. You learn a lot about opposition teams too. But it's a good test for us. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. You know, we're tested early. It's going to give me, somebody that's new to the competition, a real good look at, you know, sides that are touted to be in the top 3, 4, 5 early on, because I'm going to take a lot of learning out of that too for myself. So I'm looking forward to seeing where we're at the same time where the competition's at early.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you've got Drysdale round one, no disrespect, but Torquay round two, obviously undefeated last year. Mottawarri will argue differently, but might have gone on and won the flag. And I'm sure Chris Hickey will be quite comfortable in saying, hey, we reckon we were half a sniff. But that's a twilight clash that will bounce at 5-10. And I suspect that it might not start with a massive, it will have a good crowd, but you might get people going after they've watched other games around the district going, hang on, we're off to Torquay because there's probably going to be a cracking game of footy. And I suspect home round one's nice and safe, but round two, you're going to get a real feel for what the town versus town rivalries are.
Yeah, I certainly will. I was at Torquay Ocean Grove round one last year, actually, as a spectator, having, of course, no affiliation really other than knowing a couple of people. No, Dom Gleeson quite well, coaching Torquay. So I went down and actually watched him coach and had a really good win that day. And I had a sense of the community that day. There was a huge crowd. It was a beautiful sunny day and really enjoyed that. So that's going to be massive. Twilight game round two. We're doing that as a twilight sort of pracky match ourselves this week as a bit of preparation for that too, a bit of a different build-up because, we haven't played a lot of twilight footy over the journey. Yep. So it will be different, big crowd. I live about sort of 300 metres from the Torquay Footy Club, so it's around the corner for me, so that'll be nice.
That's another home game for you in a way.
Sort of, But we all know that's not the case when you get there in the double blues, mate. It'll be on for sure.
Absolutely. Dan, a couple of quality hitouts. Lilydale first on March 12 at home at Howard Harmer, and then Spotswood. You got good links to both clubs. Brendan Curry through Spotswood, your footy boss, obviously has great links there. And Lilydale, having you been in the Eastern League, and some former players of Lilydale playing at Barwon Heads and the like, they're quality hitouts against, you know, probably higher ranked opponents, for want of a better term, they're playing in better quality, you know, leagues than the Bellarine.
Yeah, look, I'm certainly looking forward to both of those hitouts. I think they'll be competitive games no matter where it stands. Lillardale, we've clearly got some links with some ex-players. You know, the Harvey brothers, Lockie Wilson, who might have played a couple of halves last year, will pretty much be like a new recruit for us this year, ex-Lillardale captain. So really excited to see him go around. But Lukey McCormick, who coaches Lillardale, him and I are really good friends. We used to play against each other. We played interleague footy together back in the day. And look, he coaches hard. So I'm expecting a really good hitout against them. And of course, Spotswood, Western District, successful football club. Cuz has got ties there. We had a really, so I heard, I certainly didn't see it, but a bumper game against them last year. It's a really good preparation for us for round one a couple of weeks after that.
Yeah, happy with just the two practice matches? I know you were trying to get to Baruga to play up there because the Herbison family link up on the Murray. You're trying to play into that, but you just missed out on that opportunity.
Yeah, no, more than happy, Kingy. That would have been nice to get up away. Look, we went to Apollo Bay. We played some match sim there, basically like an intra club. We're going to do that again this week. Plus two, it's plenty. These days, you look at the AFL now, they're cutting back. They used to do 7 or 8 practice matches. They're now doing 2. So there's plenty. We've been doing a lot of match simulation at training. The guys are ready for that. So 2 solid hitouts and then a week off for mine's great preparation for round one.
Yep. Barwon Heads used the best part of 50 players at 2 o'clock last year. Yeah. I suspect that's not a number you want to see this year. And, you know, high 30s is probably the limit. I'm guessing that, you know, and injuries obviously are, you know, and COVID's probably going to play a role as well.
Definitely.
But stability was something that Barwon Heads lacked and something you're probably keen for, hopefully this year with, you know, with your playing group.
Yeah, look, I think they played 45 senior players in the first like 6 rounds, which is unheard of. You don't want that ever as a coach. You'd prefer to play 25. That's not going to happen. But yeah, if you can 36, 37 players through the senior side throughout the journey, keep your guys healthy as you possibly can. You know you're going to get some injuries. You know COVID's going to play a part at some stage. And I think every club's going to have to manage that the best they can. I think we've got pretty good depth. We're going to have to give guys and kids opportunities this year at times, but hopefully it doesn't sort of impact too much.
Yep. Massive year for the club. It's the centenary of the Barwon Heads Football Netball Club. 1922 to 2022 is a great logo floating around as well. And I suspect to cap it off would be lovely to have a premiership. I know there's a lot of water to flow under the bridge that crosses the Barwon that in Ocean Grove. You want to beat those blokes a couple of times during the year on the way to maybe lifting a second premiership cup in 4 years. We wish you the best of luck, Dan. Welcome to the region. We look forward to dealing with you here at Carrock Footy, and we really appreciate you giving us some time on the season countdown.
Good on you, Kingy. Thanks so much for having me, mate. Really looking forward to the season.
You've been listening to K-Rock Football's Season Countdown. Keep an eye on krockfootball.com.au for new episodes in the lead-up to the 2022 local football season.